Welcome to my podcast, Ellie Elevates Your National Parks. This is a podcast about the different national parks and monuments. Each episode, I will feature a National Park Service site and tell you some background information and share insights, tips, and suggestions. I will also interview someone different every episode to hear about their experiences in the featured park. Now let's elevate your knowledge about this episode's site, Rocky Mountain National Park. Rocky Mountain is located in Colorado. It is well known for the fabulous views and excellent hiking. The first time I visited, I was 2 years old and have been there 4 times since. I have climbed to the summits of Twin Sisters Peak, Estes Cone, Deer Mountain, and Mount Ida. I have also spent many hours and days hiking around the Bear Lake area. My favorite thing about being there is the success you feel at the top of the mountains. Rocky Mountain was established as a park on January 26, 1915. The Continental Divide goes through the park. This is a line that divides the Pacific watershed and the Atlantic watershed. This means that the water from the east eventually goes into the Atlantic Ocean, and all the rain and snow melt on the west goes in the Pacific Ocean. Some of the animals you could see there are yellow-bellied marmots, North American elk, moose, squirrel, bighorn sheep, mule deer, and pikas. All of the animals have found ways to adapt to the environment. I saw the marmots while I was climbing Mount Ida, and they were dancing. I also saw them scurry in and out of their homes. They were the most entertaining animal at the summit out of marmot and human. Long's Peak is the only 14er in the park. A 14er is a mountain over 14,000 feet. The hike itself is very hard, and I've never done it. It can take 10 to 15 hours. One day, I will be at the top of Long's Peak. If you hike all the trails, it would be 355 miles. That would be like hiking from Chicago to Cleveland. One time, I was hiking on a trail near Bear Lake, and I had to hike across an icy snow with a steep 300-foot drop and only 3-inch ledge of ice for my feet. The other side was a wall packed with snow. I felt terrified because I thought I was going to fall. When I got across the 20 feet, I felt relieved it was over. Now I'd like to welcome today's guest, my dad, to talk about his experience at Rocky Mountain National Park. Hi, Dad.
Hi, Ellie. Thanks for having me on your podcast. I'm really excited to be on the first ever one.
Thank you. Would you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I have been traveling to national parks for a long time, but really a lot in the past 4 or 5 years. As you definitely know, we like to spend our summers driving around the West and seeing all the really beautiful sights that are out there and doing lots and lots of really cool hikes.
Thank you. What did you do when you visited Rocky Mountain National Park?
Well, I've been a few times. The very first time I was there, I was in about third grade, I think, so a little bit younger than you. And I remember feeling like it was okay, like I liked it, but not like my favorite thing I'd ever done. It was when I went back in 2010, when we did like our very first road trip, that I really fell in love with how beautiful it was and hiking in the mountains. And so we've been every year now for 4 or 5 years, done different hikes each time, seen different things every time, but then also kind of gone back to some of our favorite spots as well.
Why do you think you didn't like it when you were in third grade?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I remember being like scared driving on mountain roads that we were going to fall off the edge. So I think that was part of it. I don't know. I remember thinking that it was really beautiful, but I also remember like not really loving it. Maybe it was just because I was, I don't know, however old you are then, like 8?
Yeah. And how do you feel driving on the mountain roads now?
I've gotten used to it. It's taken a while, but that's something that we've kind of learned over the past few years is, like, what's the best way to get up and down and around and, yeah, being careful as we drive, but also not really being afraid that the car is just going to fall over the edge like I was when I was younger.
What was your favorite thing that you saw there?
One of my very favorite things, not necessarily specific to Rocky Mountain, but hiking the mountains, is definitely being at the summit for a few reasons. I know you mentioned the sense of accomplishment that you feel, and that's part of it for me, but it's also Like just a happy place. It's something that I try to take like a mental snapshot of, so I can kind of go back to what it was like to be there and to, you know, relive that sense of accomplishment and how beautiful everything is from the summit. So that's, I guess, one of my favorite things. But then also all the animals are really cool. Seeing the moose and the marmots that you mentioned. It's really cool to see those kind of things in the natural world in their own environment, especially because it's not something that we have in Illinois.
Yeah. Did you see any stupid people while you were there?
That's something that we're always on the lookout for when we're in national parks, because there's a lot of people who make a lot of bad decisions and break a lot of rules, aren't there?
Yes.
I don't remember anybody too awful this year. I think the worst that we saw was a group of people who were behind some signs that said, do not enter a restoration area. And they were back there, I don't know, looking at something or doing something. I don't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
That was the worst. It wasn't the most egregious thing that I've ever seen. So it was okay.
What other parks have you seen stupid people at?
Oh, my goodness. well, the worst one, I think, ever was Yellowstone. I feel like I should maybe save that for another different episode for you, though.
Okay.
That seems like a story you'll want to tell, because I think you know what I'm talking
about.
So that's something your listeners will have to look forward
all
to.
All right. And what would or wouldn't you do if you visited there again?
So one of my very favorite places is Lake Hayahe, which is in the Bear Lake area. And that's something that I always want to go back to every year. And we didn't go this year. We went to Odessa Lake instead, which was also cool. But to me, there's just something really special about Lake Hayahe. It's really hardly anybody ever else goes there, it seems like. So it's kind of a special place that we can kind of go. And it's so beautiful to see the lake with all the surrounded by all the rocks. Really, really pretty hike on the way up, and
yep,
a cool, special place. I don't think there's anything I would not do again. There's still a lot of stuff that we haven't done that I want to do.
And is there anything else you'd like to share with us about the park?
I think the coolest, like, fun facts about it is that there's a canal that, or not a canal, like a tunnel that goes all the way under the park from the west side all the way across to the east side. When I was looking at some maps, I saw it kind of marked on one. I was like, what's up with that? So I looked into it a little bit, and it was built like in the early 20th century to bring water from like Grand Lake and Lake Granby across the park so that they'd have more water on the east side of the Continental Divide. Must have been a huge project, though.
Yes. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
If you want to visit Rocky Mountain, I recommend you bring the 10 essentials. The list includes appropriate footwear, map, compass or GPS, extra water, extra food, rain gear, and extra clothing, safety items like fire lighters and a whistle, first aid kit, knife, sunscreen, and day packs. Also, make sure you have everything well planned out for your visit. But most importantly, be prepared for the time of your life. Make sure to tune in next time when I elevate your knowledge about Chaco Culture National Historic Park. Thank you to Poddington Bear for providing my theme music under an attribution, non-commercial, Creative Commons license.